across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Monday morning. It's July 22nd, 2024, and it's a foggy but beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might be listening through the app or watching us on Facebook or YouTube or catching us later by podcast, however you got here. We are very happy to have you along to get the week started. Just going to be another slow news week in 2024. I got a question for you. Are you ready for a brand new presidential campaign? Because that's what we have with Sunday's announcement from President Joe Biden that he has decided to stand down, I believe is how he put it, and concentrate on finishing out his term and passing the torch to Vice President Kamala Harris, who has his full endorsement to run as the Democratic nominee. That will happen in Chicago next month. There will be a lot of discussion about Kamala Harris and being the nominee and the process. And at this point, you can consider it all to be just talk, because folks got to have something to talk about. And of course, the Republican, hate machine is already cranking it up full throated. In the words of Glenn Grothman, coming up in just a moment, you'll hear more about what's going to be said about a very accomplished woman who has served not only as vice president in the most successful presidential administration in our lifetimes, but as a U.S. senator in her own right and as an effective prosecutor in her own right. Along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also put a text up on Facebook or YouTube. If you see us there, we can put that up on screen and maybe respond as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us at 6:30, as she normally does on Monday mornings, mostly in the role of co-host, talking about things in the news. Every once in a while, we do indeed focus on her campaign for Congress. We will be doing that today because of the three Republicans running on the Republican side in the 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin held a forum over the weekend. And so we'll review some of what the candidates had to say in that race and how it ties in as well to Kamala Harris being the heir apparent and presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. Selena Heller, my Up North News reporter colleague, will join us in our next hour. She'll bring a bit of a palate cleanser, should we say, to today's proceedings, talking a bit about a place called Lavender Farm here in the Chippewa Valley. And then we get back into politics with a 7:30 interview with Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. And that's because the Biden announcement provides some brand new hope for non-MAGA Republicans. And let the record be clear. The number of non-MAGA Republicans is growing. And it's going to grow larger now that folks look at the race and they no longer see the alternative to Donald Trump is, you know, somebody who's been a lifetime liberal politician who's in his early 80s. That was not a great alternative to a lot of Never Trump Republicans. Now they see that one side of the political aisle has been willing to pass the torch and is providing a fresh new start with somebody who's not in their late 70s or early 80s, but somebody who, like me, is turning 60 years old this year. I never thought 60 was going to be the youth movement, but that's American politics for you, where she is a fresh alternative worth talking about. So Trygve Olson will help us with all that as well. And along with Brittany Merlo's forecast, Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, we've got one more thing. It's Greg Bach. Greg is in Waukesha right now. Greg's in Waukesha all the time if he's not home in Kenosha, because if you weren't in Waukesha right now, you'd be hearing dead air. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I am...
I actually brought out the little tiny Pat Kreitlow heads on toothpicks for my birthday cake just to try to make them dance a little. Look at that. We got dancing Pat head on toothpicks. Anything to make us forget about yesterday. I was this close. I was this close, Greg, to getting on the pontoon yesterday.
Well, that's what I heard, that President Biden, Vice President Harris, and all their advisors are like, wait, where is he?
Is he about to put on his captain's hat? Yes. I'm working on breaking news and swim trunks and flip flops and getting articles written and cutting a video. And it was a perfect day up. It was a perfect weekend up till then. I had just grilled for lunch. We had some brats.
Nice.
There was lots of quiet, relaxation time over the weekend. It was a lovely summer weekend in Wisconsin. And I had to spend that time relaxing at home, because I'm kicking off this next weekend with you.
Yeah, you
and
are.
A whole bunch of other radio brethren as we go to a Brewers game to wrap up the week here for Yacht Rock Night.
I'm very excited. One thing, it's baseball. Come on, man. It can be.
Yeah.
It can be Greg Box Sucks Night, and I'd be like, I'm still going.
I'm going.
Yeah, you know, it was, I will be honest, and I'll say this on Matt and Air on Air later today. I felt what was a well-deserved nap, because Bridget is in Ireland right now, and I am on permanent one doggy parent dog duty. So it's just a lot happening, and so we both me and the dog fell asleep yesterday, and I woke up to texts from Jane and from other people and a whole new swath of, hey, Greg, do you want to give to the now Kamala Harris campaign? $5 will do it. You know,
so many texts yesterday. Oh my God.
But you know what? I got to say, I'm feeling good. I'm cautious. As Representative Francesca Hong says, and this is, I love this phrase, I am nauseously optimistic.
Yes. I love her. Yes. I love that phrase so much.
And yes. I don't know what it is. Like, you know, there's no getting around it. The campaign is going to happen. We're going to have an election. And I voted for Kamala Harris in the primary of 2020, even after she dropped out. She was my candidate. So to see her ascend, I have this this nagging optimistic feeling.
it's okay to have that.
Yeah.
I also checked the box for Kamala Harris, because, again, I was so thankful to have somebody in the race of my generation.
Yeah.
And look, I salute all the baby boomers and the pre-baby boomers, Biden and Pelosi and so many others, for their service. But there was very little room for Gen Xers to ever enter public service. And so one of them snuck through.
Yeah.
And so that's where we find Kamala Harris. And we'll have lots to say about her. But yeah, it does feel different. And Trygve Olsen, I'm sure we'll touch on this as well, because he's mentioned this before. The awkwardness of this is, when you're dealing with a president, whether you agree with him or not, you're kind of talking about a family type situation. And is it time to have that hard conversation with somebody in your family? And this has been 3 weeks of hard conversations.
Yeah.
Especially for something, as I said once before on the show, and I'll say again, for the first 3 years or so, I fully expected President Biden to get to Labor Day 2023 and make it official that he was not going to run for a second term and clear the decks either for Kamala Harris with his endorsement, or he might have not endorsed her and said, I just want to leave a lot of room for a wide open primary. He didn't do either one of those things.
Yeah.
And so my thought was, okay, obviously he sees that Trump, who we all thought would be long gone by now, you know, either back into business or business fraud or jail or
TV.
Exile or TV or anything else. And he's still there. So you're thinking Biden's going, well, I beat him before. I guess I'm the guy that's got to beat him again.
Yeah.
But I hate to say it, but we say it all the time. Time is undefeated.
Absolutely.
And there is, for some people, there is that seminal moment. You know, it could have been a stroke. It could have been a heart attack. It could have been a cancer diagnosis. The COVID that he contracted could have been really serious. And he could have pointed to any one of those things, and Trump too, for that matter, point to any one of those moments and say, yep, my health is no longer what it was. But in many cases, President Biden included, it's not a single moment. I mean, people point to the debate, but we all saw little moments before that where you go, well, you know, you're 80-something years old. You're going to have some bad days. And the number of bad days were starting to get, you know, concerning.
Yeah.
And that's what led to all these not great conversations for something that I thought was going to happen all along. I did not think the president was going to run for a second term back in the day. He said as much in April of 2020. He said, I see myself as a transition president to a next generation, to a new bench.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I've been talking about that too. Like I'm agreeing with you, but I felt like he said, I was like, I wanted to find that audio from 2020 when he was running and say like, oh, he seems like he wants to be one term president, come in, do the thing and then move on. But now, and then you're like, all right, 2021, 2022, nothing, 2023, nothing. Oh, he's running again. And that made me nervous. And I was like, this doesn't feel right.
But because Trump was still out there and and that still makes a lot of people nervous. But now a whole lot of people are looking at the landscape and going, well, one side managed to pass the torch. You know, can we do it with this side as well and give people a fresh choice? Of course not. Trump's not going anywhere. This is the only way he's staying out of jail at this point. Has he been lucky? Has he been lucky as hell with all the legal stuff? Of course he has. It's going to catch up to him, much like all those cheeseburgers and all that. I mean, yeah, Biden's health went first, but his health and his legal issues and karma, whatever you want to call it, it's all going to catch up to him eventually as well.
Time always wins.
Yep, remains undefeated. Let's see. Speaking of undefeated, that was the Brewers at Target Field this weekend. Took both games of the series. Rhys Hoskins with a go-ahead two-run home run in the eighth inning. Eric Haas hit two homers. Rookie Jackson Churio homered and drove in three runs to lift the Brewers to a two-game sweep of the Twins with an 8-7 win at Target Field on Sunday. At least that's the rumor. I caught some of it out of the corner of my eye. Once I found the game on the Roku channel. I'm sorry, the Roku channel.
So
I finally figured out that I could put that app on my TV and watch it. But really, how many different ways are we gonna? It's on Freevee next, or one of these other, you know, bottom tier networks.
We're gonna come to your house and play the game. Yeah, I could talk for the rest of the show about that topic. I know we got bigger fish to fry. But that is what infuriates me about modern-day baseball and watching it on television.
Yeah, absolutely. Brewers are at Wrigley for the Cubs starting tonight. Pre-game at 6:30, first pitch at 7:05 against the Cubs. Back after this, this is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Wrightlow. We'll have today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes, but a little leftover history from yesterday marked the 77th birthday of Carlos Santana. Singer Kim Carnes turned 79 years old yesterday. We'll have today's events coming up in just a bit. I would be remiss, though, if I didn't kind of toot our own horn a little bit on this show as I was putting together notes and realizing sometimes I'm like, why am I so tired? Here was last week's guest list, Mr. Bach. We had political strategists Joe Trippi and Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project, Olympic weightlifter Mary Tyson from Eau Claire, Jennifer Berkshire, author of The Education Wars, Richard Trent, the new National Executive Director of Main Street Alliance, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, congressional candidate Kristen Lierley, legislative candidate Kelly Peterson, Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, Mark Jacob, Scott Ross, Joe Zepecki, Melissa Baldoff, Dan Schumacher, Sharita Booker, Selena Heller, Christina Laurie, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Chad Holmes, Todd Alba, Terry Bell, Greg Bach. That's why I'm tired.
Hey, man, this show is packed full of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. We pack it in, and that is, I mean, it is very much a team thing. Could not possibly do it without you, and especially all those folks at the end of the list there that I mentioned, all of my Civic Media and Up North News colleagues. But just the guests that now want to come to this show and to Civic Media and talk about the issues shows that both Civic Media and Courier Newsroom through Up North News have indeed planted a flag, you know, in Wisconsin and said, we are going to be a home for public discourse and civic engagement. And that flag is flying proudly now. It is flying high. It doesn't happen without all that help.
Yeah, I hear from people, you know, people I know and just, you know, not strangers, but people who like even just come to the club and say, I listen to you on the radio and I listen to you. And that's how I know about the club. And that's, I love what you're doing. And, you know, the response we're getting from Wisconsinites is really, really encouraging. And I feel like all the shows are doing the good work. And there's a real sense of pride to be a part of this and what we're trying to do in this climate.
It is. And on all of the platforms, on radio and on social media. And then there's the newsletter. And God bless Christina Laurie. Had the presence of mind to change up the newsletter a little bit so that when it hit your inbox at 5 o'clock this morning, the subject line is, anything happened this weekend? with a son wearing sunglasses. And but then she's got some links to the Wisconsin reaction about President Biden's announcement that he's exiting the presidential race. And then a bit of an update, a history lesson on Kamala Harris and all that she's done as well, especially her work in protecting reproductive health care rights. So if you head over to upnorthnewswi.com, you can see those articles. You can also sign up for the daily newsletter or head over to our social media feeds. And of course, here on Civic Media, you can head over to civicmedia.us to find out stations and shows and news stories that Terry Bell's putting together. I don't think I mentioned it when Terry Bell comes on later in the show. Normally, it's Three Things You Need to Know is the name of his segment. Mm. We asked him if this week he could go with three other things you need to know, because we already know what would be on that list, and we're gonna talk about that a lot. So
give you a preview. Number one, lasagna. Number two, lasagna. Number three, Garfield, who loved what? Lasagna.
Lasagna. Boom. Yeah. Boom. Lasagna Awareness Month rolls on. I regret to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Congressman Glenn Grothman is still doing Glenn Grothman things. He was interviewed by CBS 58 at Mitchell Field in Milwaukee and asked about President Biden's decision to leave the race. And, you know, your standard answers about Biden and, you know, Trump is better and et cetera, et cetera. So this clip, I'm going to stop it after the first 10 seconds so that we set the table properly for what he says afterwards. Here is Congressman Grothman being interviewed by CBS 58.
It is, I think, going to be more difficult to beat somebody who's not Joe Biden.
Okay. Anything else about this decision that you wanted to say?
There we go. All right. So right there, we're just going to pause for a moment or we'll start it over. Either way. Every reporter is trained. You never just ask your questions and go, okay, thank you, bye. You always end with, is there anything else you want to say? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Is there anything I forgot to ask about that you want to add? Now, that's a gimme. And the person being interviewed has the right to remain silent. They don't have to say, they can say, nope, we covered it all. Thanks. That happens a lot. If you choose to say anything else, you can't say, oh, it was a loaded question or a leading question. No, no, no. You decided what to say next as Glenn Grothman follows up and talks a bit more about Kamala Harris.
No, I think it's going to be a difficult race. I think people can say you're going to be picking an unknown for vice president. But to be honest, as soon as you're nominated for a national office like that, you become known in the first week.
Is there anyone that you see challenging Harris that could potentially overpower, like that you think more people could get behind?
I know there are some Democrats who don't like her, and she has the obvious weakness at the border, as well as she hasn't been the most articulate candidate so far. But apparently they feel, or a lot of Democrats feel, they have to stick with her because of her ethnic background. And
again, Glenn Grothman.
Glenn Grothman.
Glenn Grothman things. Yeah. Ethnic background. Yeah. So that, and again, we've already heard a couple of times, and you're going to hear it more often, that she is the DEI candidate. And folks, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work. Mm. It's only going to work on a certain subset. And everybody in that subset is going to recoil and have a scare. How dare you, sir, accuse me of that? I'm accusing you of that. Kamala Harris is the sitting vice president of the United States. When they go, well, nobody voted for her. Actually, they voted for her in the primaries. Joe Biden picked her. They voted for the Biden-Harris ticket, knowing full well if anything happened to Joe Biden, she was going to become the commander-in-chief of the United States of America. If you're thinking for a moment you're going to make any sitting vice president audition for the job, much less, sure, the first black woman, South Asian, in that job who could be the first of her generation, yeah, good luck with that. But it isn't because of those factors. It's because she has been battle-tested. She is accomplished in her own right.
Quick question for you, and I don't know if the my point is, if they come at her as quote-unquote the DEI candidate, will that maybe push some other Republicans out a little bit? Like, well, you know, when he was running against Biden, that was one thing. But now this party is, like, getting really... The DEI thing is slapped so much with just racism that they want to say yet not say. Can that make Republicans go, maybe we don't want Trump? If that's what, if the core is saying this, I don't want to be a part of this sort of rhetoric. If that makes sense.
I look at it as a passing the torch, and that's the sentiment I've heard from Trigg V. Olsen in the past, and I think we will get that about an hour from now as well, is that now it's Donald Trump who's the old guy in the race. And the guy who, by the way, is also in severe cognitive decline. The original plan for today's show, I had these things all loaded to go. I had all these clips ready to go from Trump's rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan over the weekend. And we're still going to play him at some point because he is a mess. And he is as authoritarian as ever. And yeah, more Republicans are going to look at that and go, maybe we need to take a break from Trump for a term. It's absolutely something that is going to happen with some folks. More with Kristen Lyerly next. You're up north. All right, there. I lied. There was one more This Day in History that we had to catch from over the weekend. It was on, Saturday, was it? Yep. On that day in 1963, Leslie Gore released Judy's Turn to Cry, the natural follow-up to It's My Party, which takes us to the president of the Leslie Gore fan club, and that would be Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, Dr.
Good
Lyerly.
Good morning.
How are you?
And happy Monday.
Yay. Remind me again how you got to be president of the Leslie Gore fan club.
My mom just had Leslie Gore records when we were little, and my sister and I, it was before computers, so we had plenty of free time. So my sister and I would just sit and spin my mom's records, and that was, Leslie Gore was a family favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick question about Leslie Gore. You might be able to answer this, Dr. Lyerly. I'm looking at the clip that Pat sent me, and it's got like the cover of an album. And here's what's on the album. It's Judy's Turn to Cry. No more tears. Just let me cry. Cry. And then there's It's My Party. Was she a cry-based artist? Was like, that her milieu?
I don't know if you know this, but those teenagers filled with angst. There was a lot of angst, shall we say.
Yeah. You know, come to find out, all these songs were about like breakups and Johnny and all of that. Leslie Gore, she was a lesbian.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, back in the 60s, I mean, you know, life was very different. What can I say?
She couldn't write a song called My Longtime Roommates Moved Out.
And I don't know that she wrote these songs. Yeah. I'm not sure who wrote the songs, but I think that was just the expectation, you know? Young girls sang these songs about breakups.
Yeah. I gave Greg the link for when did Leslie Gore essentially turn the corner? And if you bring that up, you'll understand why there's another Leslie Gore song that we play a lot of times when Dr. Lyerly joins us. I'll note that on this day in 1906 in Finland, a new law was ratified guaranteeing the first and equal right to vote in the world. Finnish women become the first in Europe to receive the right to vote.
Yeah.
Do we have, Do we have Leslie's follow-up hit there?
Oh, yeah.
Or did I send you a bad link? There we go. Oh, this is a live version.
Yes, okay. It is.
I mean, do you just want me to sing it?
Yes, by all means.
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. Sing it, ladies. You don't own me. This is what Kamala's singing this morning. So
absolutely. Well, see, I knew I eventually would make that pivot to Kamala Harris being the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. And we can do all the behind the scenes, you know, party maneuvers and the rumor mill and everything else. It's going to be Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. right?
It was so quick. I mean, you know, President Biden issued his statement and then, 15 minutes later, he endorsed her. And a flood of endorsements came after that, including mm-hmm. all 50 chairs of the Democratic parties across the country. I think it'll be Kamala.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Tammy Baldwin right away had that as well. And by the way, from Ann Jacobs from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who is serving as, originally a Biden delegate to the convention. She co-signs a letter along with seven other delegates saying, as the eight delegates from Milwaukee to the Democratic National Convention, we wish to express our respect and admiration for Joe Biden and deep appreciation for his remarkable presidency. Joe Biden has always put his country first, and he continues that today. We are excited to support Kamala Harris as our presidential nominee. We have full confidence in her and are energized to help her win this November. So no mischief from the Milwaukee delegation. We can instead turn, and this is to take nothing away from the Biden announcement or from Kamala Harris. We're going to have a lot to say about those things. But if you're going to talk about something, rather than whether Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee, it's who is she going to pick as a running mate.
It's Veep stakes.
It's Veep stakes time. And that's the part that's going to be like genuinely excited.
Mm-hmm. Who's it going to be? I mean, that's what everybody was talking about on cable news last night. Mm-hmm. The list included Gretchen Whitmer and Josh Shapiro and
Mark Kelly. I mean,
yeah.
Again, to be clear, Mark Kelly, not R. Kelly. Kelly is going to be.
CBS right. referred to Gretchen Whitmer as the governor of Wisconsin.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. We're different states.
Did you all see the story, though, about Barack Obama not endorsing and he's pushing an open primary? He said, quote, an outstanding nominee will emerge.
Well, again, there's people who couch their language. Let me back up a step. When President Biden put out his announcement, the initial announcement did not include the endorsement. It thanked Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. but did not include the endorsement. So I, in my swim trunks and flip-flops, put on a nice dress shirt and recorded a video, a little video update, and talked about, that the president had made the announcement. He thanked Kamala Harris, did not include an endorsement. Delegates will gather in Chicago. The moment I started to work to edit it, comes the endorsement. Like, no, I actually do endorse her, but he just did it in a second. So I had to go back out and re-record the video and put it back out there again. And that's because, some people want to couch their language. They know that there are donors or supporters who, aren't as, what should we say, close to the process. Mm-hmm. And look, if he doesn't want to, nobody's going to make him do it. But I think that he should understand as well as anybody else that if you're not endorsing your sitting vice president and if you're forcing your vice president to audition for the job, it's not a good look. And he should know better.
Yeah.
I wonder sometimes, too, we don't know what's going on, all the inside baseball. We know some things and mm-hmm. we pay attention, but there's more happening.
Oh,
so,
good Lord, yes.
Yeah. Right. So it's just always, I think, important to keep in mind that we don't know what the full story is. Yeah. And mm-hmm. he does.
Yeah. And again, there were, as much as people tried to rise above politics, there are hurt feelings. Biden was hurt that, Obama quickly, backed Hillary Clinton in the 2016 campaign and, all these personal things that eventually are overcome. But sometimes they don't come out in the first statement as just kind of a it's as close as you get to kind of taking off your glove and hitting somebody across the face.
I challenge you to a duel.
Yes. And instead of that, we kind of forget to mention their name, or we forget, you know, endorse. And then it comes out a little bit later on. But now we're getting way into the personal nature of it. But we get to contemplate the Veep Stakes. But Kristen, whether it's, you know, for everybody running in a tight congressional district like you, or a tight presidential race, to have the torch passed to a Gen X candidate and also somebody who has been relentlessly supportive of women's reproductive health rights, this strikes me as a net positive for a lot of people in your position and others.
Mm-hmm. I was with my 92-year-old friend Lois yesterday, and I said, Lois, it is entirely possible that the people I have to vote for on my ballot this November are all going to be women. What do you think about that? She's been involved in elections her entire life. She's always volunteered and worked the polls. And she said, you know, Kristen, everyone expects us to do all the cooking and the cleaning and sometimes a little sex, but I think this is what we were actually meant for.
Lois, just, you're an American hero.
Can you put that on a pillow in embroidery? Like, I just love that.
It was brilliant. But I think a lot of us were waiting for, we were living in this limbo. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was certainly supportive of President Biden, but also supportive of the process and trusting the process and hoping that something was going to emerge because we were feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, that pressure relieved. And now it feels like, okay, we're headed in a direction, and a direction where we have a young, vibrant candidate. And what you said, Pat, the way that Kamala has been able to articulate reproductive rights in a way that President Biden never could, that is incredibly important to me and women and families and young people and so many others across this country. We know that reproductive rights is a winning issue. So I think that's going to be pivotal in this campaign.
Mm-hmm. Alicia Saunders writes in, OMG, I didn't realize everyone on my ballot may be a woman.
Oh, can I just say, Alicia is one of the people who is on my ballot.
Yes, exactly. For the legislative seat that she's running in as well. So. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be that kind of a year. By the way, when we talk about, you know, vibrant women on the ballot, and then, you know, guys on the other side, there's these three men running for Congress in the 8th congressional district, all Republican. They all held a forum over the weekend, I believe it was Friday. Friday night. I don't know. You've been working all weekend. You read up at all on what the three Republicans running in your congressional district have to say about the issues, maybe about you? I mean, did any of them convince you that maybe you should be supporting them instead of yourself? I don't know. Maybe you want to make some news here.
No, that did not happen. I did watch it. I was at the hospital waiting for a baby, so I had a little free time and I watched it. You know, it was partisan. It was uninspiring. It was moderated by Giant Joe Giganti, the regular conservative talk host guy, who is... It was hard to watch. You know, the first half of the debate was about immigration and every little nitpicky conservative talking point, so much lack of reality. It was poorly moderated. There was a rule that if your name was mentioned, that you then got 30 seconds. And so it got kind of caught up in the process and it became cumbersome. The only mention they even made about reproductive rights was a comment where they tried to... Tony Weed tried to pin Andre Jacques as being too pro-life, and it turned into an argument, and they had to bring in an outside person to talk about what was really said, which that was the article in the news the next day. It didn't really address actual issues. There were a lot of lies, frankly. It was just completely off base. I don't know. I was bored with it.
And so
we're going to get these. Big old...
Yeah. And yet one of these men will emerge from the August 13th debate and will be your opponent come November. Again, they are State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere, former State Senator Roger Roth of Appleton, and local gas station entrepreneur Tony Weed of DePere, who is, you know, bragging about having the Trump endorsement. But again, between passing the torch at the presidential level, Trump being Trump. They didn't actually focus on Trump, I guess, a whole lot. They didn't focus on women's reproductive health rights at all. I just feel like there's going to be a lot more kind of avoiding issues from them and hoping to overcome it just by demonizing immigrants enough. It doesn't really sound like a winning formula to me.
Well, that's what the RNC platform was too, right? They took abortion off of the platform because they just don't want to talk about it. They just, you know, pretend like it's not there and it's going to go away, apparently. But that's obviously not the case. And your job as a leader is to listen to people and answer hard questions and solve hard problems. That is not at all what we saw in this debate. We saw bickering, we saw softballs, we saw a lot of conservative talking points, but we didn't see what the people of Wisconsin really want to see.
Yeah. So again, that those three will compete on August 13th in the primary. You can go to myvote.wi.gov to learn about the candidates, because there is that Republican primary in the 8th Congressional District. There is a Democratic primary in the 3rd Congressional District, and of course, plenty of legislative races as well. And then, Kristen, those two constitutional amendment questions that would enable Republicans to sit on even more money that could otherwise be put to work for Wisconsin residents if those amendments were to pass.
No, 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 mm-hmm. no, no. That's my advice.
There we go. So, again, to learn more about that, myvote.wi.gov, or stick around for this show. We're just going to inform you about those constitutional amendments and the candidates all the time. Kristen put in a request that we might all have a little bit of political overload, and so maybe we could spend the segment talking about, you know, like music instead. Kristen, there's 45 seconds left in the segment. Anything about music that you'd like to share or just sing or talk about with us? We can come back to Leslie Gore.
All of it. What's happening on this day in music history, Pat?
Oh, I can tell you about that. In fact, I could even do it with the help of Selena Heller from Up North News and Whiskers the Cat, who was walking through the camera shot yet again.
There he is.
Selena, how much does Whiskers weigh? Is it 40 pounds?
I think just 9. So
I don't know.
Did you just like say 40 pounds?
45. It's a
my
very
dog
large
weighs
cat.
26 pounds.
I think Whiskers could take it down. So this whole gang will be back to talk about today's history lesson. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota. So I kissed some other guy. Johnny jumped up and he hit. I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but my will gets weak and my thoughts seem to scatter. But I John Henley is 77 years old today, born in Gilmer, Texas, and not to take anything away from what he and Glenn Frey did with the Eagles, one of the blockbuster bands of our time, but his songwriting, his lyrics for his solo hits, like that one, Heart of the Matter, Dirty Laundry, Boys of Summer, Sunset Grill, The Garden of Allah. And I think that's one almost nobody has heard, maybe. Very few people have heard. You know, from a proportion standpoint, go listen to The Garden of Allah, realize that it was written in and around the time of the O.J. Simpson trial. And I mean, it's just brilliantly written, depressing, but just brilliant lyrics. Don Henley, 77 years old today. This is today's history lesson. Selena Heller is with us, along with Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well. Great Britain got its first ever albums chart on this day in 1956. And the number one album was Frank Sinatra's Songs for Swingin' Lovers, which featured this Pat Kreitlow karaoke classic.
Thank you.
This is from the Live at the Sands album with the Count Basie Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
I've got you under my skin.
And again, if you don't own this album, go get it today. Also, You Make Me Feel
Swinging
So
Lovers.
Young. Yep, Songs for Swinging Lovers.
Okay, that's a... all right.
This would be the 1956 definition of Swinging Lovers, not by the time it changed by, say, 1976. Took on a totally different meaning.
We're
all together.
A key party. Bring your sweetie.
Actor Danny Glover is 78. Willem Dafoe is 69 today. David Spade is 60 years old today. Little Prince George of Wales is 11. Kristen.
Willem Dafoe from Appleton, Wisconsin.
That's right. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, I'm looking forward to playing this one. On this day in 1967, Everybody knows the Supreme song, You Keep Me Hanging On, and then Kim Wilde did it again in the 80s. How many people remember the cover that was done by the rock band Vanilla Fudge? Yeah. The song peaked this day in 1967 at number 67 on the charts, but it's a good one.
Vanilla Fudge, one of the unsung architects of modern heavy metal.
Very much so. We'd play the rest of the song, but we'd be here till lunchtime. It is a very, very long song. All of their songs were very, because they were heavy, driving beats. Yeah. William Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice, was registered this day in 1598. Here's a fun little birthday. George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic is 84 years old today. It's not too early in the morning for this, for Greg anyway. Yep. Shall we move to the complete opposite end of the musical spectrum now?
Oh, man.
Bobby Sherman is 79 years old today.
Okay.
He's like the male version of Leslie Gore.
This is musical whiplash, honestly. Let's see. This day in 2014, Weezer releases Back to the Shack, the lead single from Everything Will Be All Right in the End. Several more birthdays here. Rick Davies from Supertramp is 80 years old today.
One of those great intros.
I love it, yeah. This is from one of the last and one of my favorite episodes of WKRP in Cincinnati, which you'd never see anymore because they had to strip all the music out of the reruns because of music licensing. But it's where the Gary Sandy character is considering leaving Andy Travis. And this is playing throughout the song. And it's really good. Let's see. Keith Sweat is 63 years old today. Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls is 61. Actress Selena Gomez is 32 years old today. This is also the anniversary of the birth of Bob Dole, war hero, Kansas senator, and 1996 presidential nominee. This is continuing Lasagna Awareness Month. This is World Brain Health Day. This is National Mango Day. National Hammock Day, which I did not get into yesterday. Thanks, Breaking News. And National Spoonerism Day. Spoonerisms are tongue slips that involve switching the initial letters of words, saying runny babbit instead of bunny rabbit, or paw nailish instead of nail polish, which is what one of my daughters, how she called it for many, many years. So happy Spoonerism Day. Ms. Heller, how was your weekend?
Oh, very good. Oh, my goodness. Well, up here we had a, you know, rock fest going on in Cadott, and then country jam. Emery went to her very first country jam. So that was
really?
Very exciting.
Did she get dressed up for the occasion?
Well, she has. Well, she's a true little country girl. She rides horses, so she has a cowgirl hat and her little boots. So she had her. She said, not the cow. We call it a cowgirl hat. So she skipped the hat, but she had her little Western clothes on and her cowgirl boots. So she was, she was ready to rock.
Well, of course. I know her mom. Her mom's a theater kid. There's costumes for everything. That kid is always appropriately dressed for any situation. So, and what are we talking about in the next hour? Something about a lavender farm?
Lavender farm. We ran to the lavender farm yesterday, too. So that was kind of neat, interesting, different.
Okay. And Kristen, I see the big old bike in the background there from where you are on your work assignment. Were you able to get it out and go for a ride?
I have a goal of completing the entire Mesabi Trail while I'm working this summer. And I'm so, so close.
How long would that be total if you did that?
Well, I have to do out and back. So it ends up being like, you know, both like two times.
So you've already out and back. Yes.
So you've completed it once. You're doing it a second time.
Well, I park somewhere and then I can go to a certain point and then I have to come back to where I parked.
Right.
So It's like 140 miles or something. It's not that long.
Just another day, you know.
But in segments, in little segments. And then I stop in the little, you know, towns like Gilbert and enjoy some Caribbean food at the Whistling Bird. Go to Lake Orbegon.
Orbegon.
You found Lake Orbegon. That's funny. I like that.
It's a mine. It's an old iron ore mine where they, they scooped it all out, and what's left is now a beautiful little lake that where people recreate.
It's a
play on the word woebegone.
Yes, yes. I have to note Rob from Tigerton. We'll get his weather report coming up, but he notes that Bobby Sherman appeared in a 1974 episode of Emergency, and he later became an EMT and reserve police officer for the LAPD.
Oh.
Rob is all over this.
That's what happens to Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver. He became a cop. I think he became a highway patrol.